From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Graz.
And welcome to Capitol Connection, where we are broadcasting today from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln, just blocks away from our state capitol, where we are working every day to advance family, freedom, and life, and to keep you informed on the biggest news in government, policy, and culture. And on today's show, we are talking about some important developments in each of those areas. Last week, new state laws passed by the Nebraska legislature went into effect. We'll talk about some important ones you need to know about, plus what took place during an important United States Senate subcommittee hearing on human trafficking held in Lincoln, and lastly, why the LGBT lobby, mainstream media, and secular progressive attacked a new target last week, NFL star quarterback Drew Brees, over his support for the Bring Your Bible to School program. We'll get to that, but first, the Nebraska legislature this year in their legislative session passed 170 new laws, and those laws officially go into effect 3 months after the year's session ended, which was last week. So these new 170 laws have now taken effect, meaning that among them, the state of Nebraska will now be clamping down on revenge porn, taking aim at scam phone calls from fake numbers, and imposing new pro-life requirements on abortion providers. So we want to give a brief overview of some of the significant new laws, including some really important policies that were supported by Nebraska Family Alliance that passed by the legislature and are now law in Nebraska. So revenge porn is now illegal in the state, meaning people who post explicit photos or videos of others without permission or who try to use those images for blackmail may now face criminal charges in Nebraska. Previously, Nebraska had been one of just seven states without a law to prohibit this type of activity, and the new law will now let prosecutors bring felony charges against perpetrators. And you know those scam phone calls you get all the time? They've just increased so much. Every day you're getting, it seems like, multiple phone calls that are spam. Well, now these scam artists who use fake numbers to trick people into answering their phones with the intent to defraud them will now be violating state law in Nebraska. The new law makes it illegal to try to defraud a person by spoofing, which is a spam phone call, which is important because these fake numbers now usually contain local area codes leading to recipients on the other end of the call believing that the call is legitimate. So this new law will allow the Nebraska Public Service Commission to impose a penalty of up to $2,000 for each violation, and the Attorney General can now pursue cases against perpetrators. And another area is getting some much-needed updates: civics in schools. Nebraska public school students must now spend more time on American civics before they graduate high school. The new law requires K through 12 public schools to teach students. They give them and at least one of three options that they have, one of which is to take the naturalization test used by the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. Another would require students to attend a government meeting and complete a project about what they learned. And a third option would be to have students do a project and class presentation about a federally recognized holiday, such as Veterans Day or Constitution Day. And this is important because we really need a much greater focus and emphasis on civics and history in public schools. And that's a bill that will help achieve that. That is now law. So those are three bills that passed into law that generated a lot of interest and hopefully will do a lot of good in our state. And there are another three bills that are now law that were supported and advocated for by Nebraska Family Alliance, including a really important new pro-life policy about abortion pill reversal that under this new law that's taken effect requires abortionists who provide medication abortions to actually inform patients before prescribing the abortion pill of all of their options, including about abortion pill reversal. The new law will require abortion providers to tell women that their pregnancy may still be viable after taking the first of two abortion pills, and that they still have a choice if they change their mind and want to save their baby and continue their pregnancy. There is help available to them. And this is all really about providing real choice and giving hope to women and to helping save babies from chemical abortions. And it was a huge fight on the floor of the legislature, had to overcome filibusters at every stage. But thankfully, we were able to get enough votes to overcome the filibuster and pass into law. And this is really important because over half of all abortions in the state of Nebraska are now done via medication. And so it's essential that people have this information, they know what all of their options are, and importantly, they know that they still have a second chance at choice and a second chance to choose life even after beginning a medication abortion. And recently, a new report came out highlighting that over 750 women have successfully made that decision and decided to continue their pregnancy after beginning a medication abortion and went through the reversal protocol, which is just doses of progesterone to counteract the first abortion pill, and have gone on to have healthy pregnancies and deliver healthy babies. And that's good news and good public policy because it supports women and it supports children. And that's a great victory for the pro-life movement. Another bill that we supported this year was LB 252 that dealt with state-sponsored gambling advertisements. And under this new law, the Nebraska Lottery now has to disclose the odds of winning the biggest available prize in its advertisements. The law is designed to help players understand the astronomically low chance they have of winning and to discourage people from playing if they can't afford it. And what a lot of people don't realize is that all of those lottery advertisements that you see on TV or on the radio or the billboards, that's actually coming from your state government. The lottery is a state-run program, and what we know about the lottery is that it's those who can least afford it that are playing the most and being taken advantage of. And oftentimes, it's people who are already on government assistance throwing away what little money they have. And so essentially, you have the state paying the state with these lottery contractors taking a big chunk of the money and leaving individuals and families worse off. And as a policy from the state of Nebraska, we shouldn't be encouraging people to go gamble their money away on games that are intentionally designed for them to lose and that the state knows will result in that person losing money. That's predatory and deceptive. And so this bill was really all about trying to provide basic honesty and accountability in a state-run program. So it's a small change, but an important one, because you can't simultaneously promote or expect strong families and strong communities when you're simultaneously promoting destructive behavior and actively encouraging your own citizens to make financially poor decisions. And as citizens, we should have that expectation that our own state government isn't trying to take advantage of people or to provide false hope to those who can least afford it. And so this new law provides some much needed accountability and honesty, and those are important components in any state program. And lastly, the state is taking some major new steps to fight human trafficking in Nebraska. Under new laws, traffickers who sell adults and children in Nebraska can now have their phones tapped by law enforcement and face prosecution years after their crimes. Because the new law, what it does is it extends the statute of limitations for sex and labor trafficking of an adult from 3 to 7 years. And for cases involving minors, the statute of limitations is abolished entirely. And what that means is the time frame in which a crime can be prosecuted. And currently, before this new law, it was only set at 3 years. And that's why this law is so needed. If you think about this, you know, these horrible crimes, if a young child is abused in this way under the law, either through trafficking or child pornography, for one, if they're very young, they might not fully understand what has happened to them until years later, or oftentimes, and completely understandably so, they're afraid. They are fearful of repercussions from their abuser. Same goes for adult victims, or they feel a sense of shame or embarrassment, and they don't feel comfortable stepping forward publicly. And so this law ensures that anyone who is engaging in these heinous activities will face the full extent of the law, and they don't get to hide behind the statute of limitations anymore. So this ensures that the worst criminals are being brought to justice, and that these victims are receiving justice and can still have time to heal. And we were glad to see that legislation pass through the legislature unanimously earlier this year. And this is part of a broader multi-year push to clamp down on human trafficking in Nebraska. Our state has taken a lot of really great steps forward in recent years to create more awareness about this issue, to provide more services and assistance to victims, and to go after both the traffickers and the buyers. And the last bill that I wanted to highlight that is now law is also related to the issue of trafficking, specifically Native American women. Under a new law that was introduced by State Senator Tom Brewer, the Nebraska State Patrol will conduct a study on cases involving missing Native American women and work with other law enforcement agencies to try to learn what can be done to address the problem, because many of these cases go unreported, and no one at the state or national level is actually tracking how many Native American women are missing. And we know that nationally, Native American women face much higher levels of violence. And so this is important because this is kind of the first type of this study being done in Nebraska. And there's clearly a lot of work that needs to be done and underlying issues that need to be addressed in order to even fully begin to understand this problem so that proper action can be taken to better protect these women and children. So those are some of the things being done at the state level, but also at the federal level, one of our own U.S. Senators, Ben Sasse, is also focused on tackling the issue of human trafficking. On last Tuesday, Senator Sasse, who is chairman of the United States Senate Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs Subcommittee for National Security and International Trade, he led a subcommittee hearing to examine human trafficking and its intersection with the financial system. And this committee hearing was actually held right here in Nebraska in Lincoln. And the committee heard testimony from our state attorney general, Doug Peterson, Krista Price, who is CEO of a human trafficking initiative based out of Creighton University, as well as state senator Julie Slama, who introduced that anti-trafficking legislation that we talked about, as well as David Murray, the vice president of product development and services for the Financial Integrity Network. And Senator Sasse had said that modern slavery is a stain on our society. Human trafficking is a despicable multi-billion dollar business that profits from the suffering of vulnerable women and young children. And we owe it to these enslaved victims to shine a light on this black market and bring lowlifes to justice. That's what the hearing was about. And I got to attend this hearing last week, and it was a fascinating and enlightening discussion on an important issue and a subset of that issue, looking at specifically the financial system that we know, unfortunately, has a presence in our state. But the good news is a lot of work is being done to combat trafficking. The panel shared about their efforts to educate individuals and the general public on the signs and red flags of human trafficking, including in the financial industry and also on the law enforcement side. They are being trained to recognize some of the signs and to better understand that trafficking victims aren't always criminals committing prostitution, but rather victims in need of help. And specifically to the purpose of the hearing, individuals working in finance-related positions like banks are now also beginning to receive training. The experts say that you can oftentimes spot a victim by taking a close eye at their banking transactions. And Senator Sasse shared with the media after the hearing that there are tools that don't really exist yet in the anti-human trafficking space that do exist in the anti-drug trafficking space. And so the banking committee who was holding this hearing, this is just their first field hearing on this, and expect there to be an ongoing educational process. So we are very thankful and grateful to see all of the new work that's being done on this issue. And that is something to be thankful for and continue to advocate for as well. So those are some of the biggest news from the past week on government and policy. And we want to turn now to culture. And there's never a shortage of things to talk about there or to be mad or angry about in our outrage culture that we live in. And this past week, there was a new target. The LGBT lobby and mainstream media picked a new favorite target in New Orleans Saints star quarterback Drew Brees for supporting the annual Bring Your Bible to School program, which is a national initiative led each year and sponsored by Focus on the Family. And Mr. Brees recorded a short video to highlight this upcoming event and to encourage students to participate by bringing their Bible to school. And so if you don't know, Bring Your Bible to School Day is a nationwide student-led movement. This year it's happening on October 3rd, where students are encouraged to take their Bible to school with them to live out their faith and to share about their faith with other students during non-instructional time. It's a very simple, innocuous event. You take your Bible to school. And voicing his support for this was enough for Drew Brees to get attacked and broadsided and dragged through the mud over his outspoken support for the event. And you know, Drew Brees has been outspoken about his Christian faith and how it has guided him in his life in the past. And in the video promotion he recorded for the program, he talked about one of his favorite Bible scriptures and encouraged kids to talk about their Christian faith too. It was short and sweet and impossible to take anything that he said in the video as offensive or hateful, so you might think, but it was enough so by just him encouraging students to participate and bring your Bible to school day and to, quote, share God's love with friends, that allies of the LGBT movement and in the mainstream media excoriated him on social media and in national articles across the country, including from some who called his association with Focus on the Family, which wasn't even mentioned in the video, a quote, known racist, discriminatory religious cult, and a quote, anti-gay religious cult that believes in conversion therapy and fights against any anti-discrimination laws. Others, of course, accused him of being hateful and a bigot. And so Drew Brees, he ended up responding to all of this through a video on Instagram, trying to clear the air and saying that he was falsely smeared by a deceptive article about the story. And so what he tried to explain to all of the backlash in a response video was that he loves all, respects all, and accepts all. What I did was I filmed a video recently that was encouraging kids to bring their Bibles to school for National Bring Your Bible to School Day, so I'm not sure why the negativity spread or why people tried to rope me into certain negativity. But that wasn't enough. That's never enough. That is never going to leave the other side satisfied, because to them, just simply promoting the Bible is now considered homophobic. And people need to talk about this and to be prepared for this, because it's not going away. It's getting increasingly hostile. And, you know, people just need to be ready to be bold and what they believe, because, you know, if they can do this to someone like Drew Brees, you know, given all of the image problems in the NFL with players with domestic abuse charges and the national anthem debacle, and that's not the issue anymore. The sights have been turned to Drew Brees for encouraging students to take their Bibles to school. And Chad Green, who's an author over at The Federalist, he wrote a great article about this where he writes that demanding the religiously observant violate their core beliefs in order to avoid public harassment and humiliation goes against everything we stand for as a country. And that's absolutely correct. And what we're seeing now, again, from the media's response to Drew Brees' message to young fans about being proud of and sharing their faith, we get the impression that they believe being openly Christian is so deeply stigmatized and so horrible that it should be a death blow to your career. And the reaction to this was instantaneous and intensely hostile. And, you know, what people seem to forget is that back in 2010, 9 years ago, Drew Brees made a video for the It Gets Better series, which encourages LGBT youth to push through school bullying. He also partnered with Ellen DeGeneres to promote an anti-bullying campaign. So this is a guy who pretty clearly doesn't have a problem with anybody, doesn't hate anybody, isn't a terrible person who harbors all of these antiquated, bigoted views. But that's not enough. You can't have any association with true biblical Christianity or with any Christian conservative organization. You know, this is another example. A different LGBT media site ran a headline about this story that says NFL star Drew Brees partners with Focus on the Family to promote hate. They said that he was promoting hate. And this is what they use as evidence for that headline, because he said, quote, "I want to encourage you to live out your faith on Bring Your Bible to School Day and share God's love with friends." And so this site concludes that even though Brees doesn't specifically mention LGBTQ people in the video, affiliated himself for nearly a decade with an organization that has such a long and sordid history of homophobia puts him squarely in the same corner. And here's what needs to be made very clear. Focus on the Family, like many Americans, follow a Christian biblical worldview. And despite the relentless insistence from secular progressives, this does not make them bad or hateful people. And what has become an astonishingly controversial position just within the last decade, preferring to maintain a specific lifestyle surrounding a specific religious worldview, by the way, which was the position of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton in 2008, is not hateful or threatening to anyone. The organization, like many others, simply advocates for their religious beliefs and, unlike many others, has chosen not to compromise their principles in favor of cultural changes. We believe in treating everyone with love and respect and the equal dignity and treatment of all people, as Drew Brees talked about in his video, but this term anti-gay has just come to be an all-inclusive term for any group or any individual who simply disagrees with the modern LGBT advocacy movement. Christians and people of faith, of any faith, in professional and public roles should not have to fear this stigma and hatred and slander for living their faith on their own terms. And, you know, it's so hypocritical for all the talk and speech we hear about tolerance, right? And here we have someone who is a man of conviction and religious faith who they refuse to tolerate and express actual tangible hatred and literal intolerance towards, all because he peacefully expressed his beliefs and encouraged students to express their faith as well. Tolerance is not and should not be the public agreement to believe the same things. People of faith need to be ready to stand firm and to not back down to the outrage mob, but to peacefully and respectfully speak truth in love. And I hope what people take away from this is that regardless of whether or not you agree with Focus on the Family or you agree with Nebraska Family Alliance or any other group, that despite philosophical or religious differences, All people should be treated with dignity and respect, and every American should be free to live and work according to their beliefs without fear of punishment by their own government or having their livelihood and reputation ruined. We all will have a choice, and it's time to make a stand, because in the words of President Reagan, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction, and that's what we're fighting for. That's all the time we have for this week. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance, hoping you'll join us again next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.